long time.
It's been a while.
It's been a while. It's been years, but it's great to see you. Scritty Blitty Green got outside, and your band, we've got Dickie Moore here on guitar and vocals, Dave Ferret, they were winding me up when they said it was Ferret, on bass, and Rodri Marsden on keyboards and vocals. So it's been a long time, but you're not prolific, are you?
No, never been troubled with that particular affliction. No, I just, you know, do things at my own pace.
Yes, which is very lovely, I think.
Very slow. Is it lovely? Yeah, I have no complaints. You know, it's kind of surprising that I still get away with doing it because I take like years off.
You do, but you have this huge respect. People have great respect for you, don't they?
Well, so it's due, isn't it? Isn't that the respect? respect due. No, not really. I don't really think it's due. It's just.
But you do have it, and do you think if you have it, that can afford you the time to go off and do whatever it is you want to do?
I suppose I just see it as good fortune, really. Yeah. You know what I mean? I just feel very lucky to be able to be still making records when. Yeah, for very often, you know, I get really tired of the music industry, or I have done on a few occasions, as I think most people involved with it could understand. Yeah. And it's just nice to run away from it.
Well, it's a weird old industry, and you've been in it for a long time, even, even if you don't do loads.
Yeah.
But you do enough. But if you don't, and have you seen it change, or is it still the same, do you think?
Lots of it are exactly the same, I think. Although, obviously, the reality of, like, downloads and what's going to happen to labels in the future and how music's going to get paid for, what's going to happen to all the professional performing popular musicians, I don't know. I think it's all very uncertain. And I don't think that's a bad thing. We're just going to have to find other ways to make things work, different economies of scale, whatever, you know.
For a lot of new bands, it's going to be a great thing because they're cutting out that middleman, aren't they? And the public can actually make their own decision if they take the time to listen to everything, of course. But they can make their own decision as to what they want to.
Yeah, I still wonder exactly how people are, you know, going to make sure they get paid for their music, you know, because illegal downloads are just like crazy. So that's interesting, I think.
So when you're not in the public eye, when you're not releasing stuff and getting nominated for Mercury Awards and what have you, are you constantly writing stuff? I mean, do you have thousands of songs?
No, not thousands. Perhaps a
hundreds. Dozens.
Dozens, maybe. Dozens of half-finished ones. No, well, lots of...
Well, you've got a low boredom threshold.
I got lots and lots of hip-hop beats, hundreds of those, because that's what really became my passion for a long time. And when I stopped kind of writing songs as such and just got into hip-hop really heavily and did tons and tons of beats. And I would do that all day, go to the pub in the evening, play darts. And, you know, suddenly 7 years had gone by. But I'm not a workaholic, no.
Because you moved from Wales, haven't you, back to London?
Yeah, back to London, which is good. Back to move to Hackney.
That's a community as well, though, isn't it?
What, Hackney?
Yeah.
It's fantastic. It's where I met the band. We all met in the same pub, and which is the best way to form a band.
Great.
I really love Hackney. Didn't it get voted recently the worst place in Britain to live or something?
Yeah.
Dickie.
Channel 4.
Did it?
Oh,
what a load of rubbish.
What do they know?
Yeah. We don't mind, though, if it stops people moving in.
Yeah. You know,
really.
Sometimes it's nice for something to be kept. I often get people... I was really cross. Anne Robinson did it on telly earlier, saying about Birmingham. And I get people going, ooh, why have you moved to Birmingham? Actually, Birmingham is the most fantastic city. There's a lot going on here. And if you can't be bothered to get off your backside and find out about it, we don't want you, you know what I mean?
And we played here just... When did we play here? Before Christmas sometime?
Yeah.
And it was fantastic, one of the best gigs in the UK.
A lot of
tour,
bands say that the crowds are really brilliant. They are.
Yeah.
Well, you're here to play some music. What are you going to do for us first?
First, we're going to do a song called Road to No Regret.
Yours?
So,
Charlie's good. Thank you.
Sort of quiet and introspective, I think. Are we ready, guys?
3, 4.
I was waiting for the time it takes for someone to forget. I was standing on the corner of the road to no regret. Oh, the road to no regret. Though it's a long way to come, I could hear the voice of reason, I could see the lights and gear. I was waiting on the corner. won't get upset. No, just think of any number, think of any alphabet. Please, just another drink, or just another cigarette. Standing on the corner of the road to no regret. The road to no regret. Before the moon has risen and before the sun has set, oh, standing on the corner of the road to no regret, the road to no regret. Oh, it is a long way to go. Put your lips together and you won't get upset. Just think of any number, think of any alphabet. Never play your cards and you'll never lose the bet. Standing on the corner of the road to no regret. The road to no regret. Sound is dying.
Oh, just gorgeous Road to No Regret from White Fred, Black Beer, Squishy Politti, here with me in the studio. So it was back to Rough Trade.
Yep.
And back to the stage.
Yeah, amazing.
After that much,
I know, all that
sort
time
of legendary
off.
Never doing it again, panic attack and all of that. Was it, I mean, how did it all come about, all the Rough Trade and going back on stage? What prompted
you? I think I did an album. I came out of one kind of retirement to do an album called Anime and Bonomy, yeah. Which I went back to New York and LA to make. Oh. And worked with people like Mos Def and Michelle Negacello and lots of cool people. And I enjoyed making that record. And as soon as it came out, Jeff Travis from Rough Trade rang me up and said, I think you've made a really good record, but I don't think anyone's going to hear it. And they didn't. He was quite right. Mm. And I think possibly, you know, you could improve on your management and where you are and everything. And would you like my help? And which was incredible. So I said, yes, please. Uh-huh. So, you know, rapidly changed managers and everything, and came back to Rough Trade, and with Jeff's help got working again.
Uh-huh.
And it was about a year ago now that he said, how about doing playing live again? And I was like, no, I don't think so. And he said, well, what if you just do one gig, you know, and you can do it under an assumed name, and you could do it at a very small venue, and if you like it, then you could do it again if you want to, and if you don't like it, you never have to do it again.
Wow.
And that's kind of like hard to say no to that.
Mm.
That made perfect sense in a way. So yeah, we went to a pub in Brixton, and didn't we, guys? Yes. So you're supposed to say yes, we did. What was the pub called? The Heath?
Windmill.
The Windmill in Brixton, which is a great little venue, and we played, and the pleasure of doing it outweighed the terror, you know, just significantly enough to want to do it again,
uh-huh.
I think.
And so when you got out into the bigger places, I mean, you were comfortable.
I know. No, well, it was weird because it was only a few massive gigs, weeks almost, it seemed, months before we were in Japan playing in big stadiums, weren't we?
Yeah, that was 20,000 capacity.
20,000.
Yeah, our 12th
from,
gig
from the Windmill in Brixton.
Oh.
Which was pretty steep learning curve. And looking back, I think we were probably not quite ready, were we?
There's some great footage of us on MTV, actually, which I saw, and everyone's looking like rabbits caught in the headlights.
Yeah.
Well, you were the audience.
Yeah. It was, yeah, that was kind of, that was in at the deep end.
Yeah.
And then we went to the States. We've just been getting a bit better as we go. And we got to play with Brian Wilson and everything. Well, States, I like this, you know, I've lived there on and off, and I do like it there, and I have good friends there, and it was great to be able to go and play there. We played pretty small venues, didn't we? But, yeah, we had a fantastic time. You know, we did the... Finally, we did that whole, you know, big tour bus, double-decker tour bus
did
thing.
Did you?
Yeah.
You great.
Know, and did the whole rock and roll tour thing, which was enormous fun, wasn't it?
You mentioned there Brian Wilson, and I also have to say to you, like, Miles Davis and Ari Mardin, just legendary people. And in fact, did you become quite matey with Miles Davis?
He phoned me a lot. Yeah, he did used to ring me in the, when I was living in Islington at the time, when I came back to live in London for a spell, and he would ring me in the middle of the night, because I don't think he was too concerned about time. I don't think he was generally concerned about whether it was night or day anyway, you know, even wherever he was, but he certainly didn't care about international time zones. And so he would ring me up, and yeah, there was a period there where he would ring quite often and talk about making more music, and was I writing anything, and all that kind of thing. And I kind of imagined that we would meet up again at some point, but of course he passed away, so that didn't happen. But it was an extraordinary privilege to meet him and go to his home and hang out with him and stuff. Yeah, amazing.
And Run DMC, did you ever get to meet them?
Yes, I met Run DMC, my heroes. And when, you know, like, hip hop was such an important, is such an important thing to me, and Run DMC were the first band that really rocked my world. And yeah, I did. I met them on a number of occasions, actually. So
did you go to those first gigs in London then? Were we at the same gigs?
Probably were. Yeah.
Because my son, this is like dead name dropping, but my son, I was going through old press. You know, you get things out the loft and
yes.
walk down. It's like, oh, these are old pressings. And he went, Mum, that's you with Run DMC. I went, yes. Photograph. But yeah, I just remember when they came, because I was very fortunate to get them to come into the studio and do some stuff for me, and just absolutely magnificent. Yeah. So what led you into that hip hop thing?
What led me into it? I think, well, I went to New York, and this would have been really in the early days of hip hop, and I was fortunate enough to meet a few people there that said, you know, you should come down the Mud Club, because there's this new thing happening, and you should, you know, tune into this radio station with DJ Red Alert or Chuck Chill Out, whoever was playing that stuff then. It was right at the beginning, and it was as exciting as punk had been, really.
Definitely.
That was the thing. It was kind of, I'd never heard anything like it, really rough and raw, and, you know, it was like a really good antidote to pop. Although I love pop as well, you know, you really need things to counterbalance, don't you? You need a bit of rough stuff in, and that's what, that, you know, that kind of simple, when Run DMC came out with a record that was just, I mean, on Profiler's first 12 inches, just them and a drum machine, it was like fantastic, awesome.
And that's what you were in the 80s, you're an absolute master of pop, weren't you?
Well, we played around with pop, that was the idea, after the kind of post-punk thing, I thought, well, it would be interesting to try and play with pop. I think we thought we were doing it in a kind of faintly ironic slash subversive way, but of course you're not really. Once you play the game, you know, it's all up. Once you and I can remember doing American Bandstand with Dick Clark, and
oh gosh,
and realizing that, you know, there was no ironic distance.
No,
you know,
no.
you're in the machine.
You're in there, aren't you? You're on that roundabout.
You're on the roundabout, and suddenly it seemed much less attractive. You know, suddenly you thought, hang on, people don't really care what you think or who you are, you're just part of this big sausage thing. So that's where I started to get my first big disillusionment with the industry. Yeah.
Well, would you do another tune, please?
Yeah, let's do another song.
What are we going to
We're going to do a song called Snow in Sun, if we can get it right. Are we ready, gentlemen? After a fashion. Okay. We all get to sing on this, and all right, I'm not going to say any more.
Correspondence or coherence, I am calling you. I was getting down, took a train into town. The sun was shining brightly, though the snow was falling lightly too. Made me think of how brave you are, and how gonna have strayed so far, and how everything came apart in my head and heart. Now love, you will never meet. Without me, you will never be. Without me, there'll be something good about me soon. sun in the city snow, like snow in the city sun. I was watching you sleep, I've been watching you dream. Should we be beset with troubles, I would never let you come to harm. Looks like maybe we'll lose our home, out of pocket and all alone. I should have worked and I should have known, I've seen those dark clouds coming in. You will never need to doubt me, you will never be without me. There'll be something good about me soon, like sun in the London snow, like snow in the London sun. Undetermined, inessential, I am calling, I am calling you.
Oh, you could do that again. That's gorgeous. Snow in the Sun. Wonderful track from the excellent album White Bread, Black Beer, Squishy Politi. Did you meet your wife in the pub?
No, I met my wife years ago in at a video shoot for one of the first videos we ever made.
Oh, right.
And no, she doesn't like pubs.
No. Because you're recently married.
Yeah, I married her in March the 1st.
All right.
To Marylebone Registry Office.
Oh, lovely.
You know.
Very nice.
When Paul and Ringo got married.
Yes.
Amongst
and
others.
Lots of famous people have got married.
Yeah, that was nice. Although we did only have one guest each.
Oh, right.
It was one of those very, very low-key things.
You didn't have a low okay or any of that?
No.
Hello.
didn't even have the Hackney Gazette.
Now, I've got a couple of questions here. Yeah. Johnny Echo Echo wants to know if there's anyone that you would like to collaborate with.
Hopefully I'll be doing, there's a bunch of people, I think I'm hopefully going to be doing something with Alexis from Hot Chip.
Oh, great.
Which is good, yeah. We're working on something at the moment. Been back in touch recently with Elvis Costello, who I sang with once, so he and I are, faintly talking.
He's
about doing stuff. So, I think lots of potential including one with a symphony orchestra in New York, which is pretty extraordinary.
Oh, that's going to be brilliant,
so,
isn't it?
We shall see.
So you're actually going to be around a lot more by the sounds of things.
That's the plan.
Yes.
I think, I've had enough time off.
Yeah.
Really, I should finally buckle down and do some work.
It's time of life. Get to work.
Get on with it.
And
stop faffing about.
Because you said you're going to do something for Friends of the Earth. That's beginning of June.
Beginning of June, I think. Isn't that right, Dickie?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. I think so.
Should know.
Dickie actually works for Friends of the Earth.
Oh, do
so
you?
So he should know.
Yeah, oh, so. That's how you got the gig then.
Yeah.
Angela from Glasgow said that you were absolutely brilliant in August at the Edinburgh Fringe. Just amazing. Made me so happy to see that he had so much time for us all at the end of the gig. Nice one.
That was another great gig, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Wow. The audience was as loud as we were.
Really boisterous.
Yeah.
Fantastic heckling.
Boisterous.
Was there?
Yeah.
Oh, good. And could you handle it? Do you like
all of
that?
Yeah. The one heckle it was the only heckle I've ever had, and it was and he was really annoyed. He was shouting in his broad accent that I can't do that he'd waited 20 odd years to hear all these songs, and all we were doing was playing this new stuff, which I think he described as pish, and then he came up and got booed. The audience nearly killed him. And then he came up afterwards for my autograph.
Oh, he's got a nerve, hasn't he?
So that was good fun.
He's one of the stands at the front going, do your hits and get off.
Yes.
She also remembers you being with me back on Radio 1.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about those days because I don't know whether it was the same for you, but, moving to London. Because were you in Leeds Poly or something before that?
Yeah, started in Leeds, moved to Camden, squatted in Camden.
Yeah. Loads of musicians were squatters, weren't they, in those days? But, they were pretty hedonistic times, weren't they?
Yeah.
And with reference to, the Camden Palace,
Yeah, they were. I guess we just used to go out every night,
all the
basically.
Time.
Always out. Went home for a few hours, dawn and then...
I'd be out with a can of Elnett hairspray.
Would you?
I had to have my hairspray,
oh, I see.
Darling.
I thought you meant instead of a can of Red Stripe or something.
Sniffing hairspray. all right, then, final tune before
final
you go,
tune.
Please.
Okay, this one is called After Six, yes. I think. And
thank
so
you.
We're all going to...
latest single.
Get ready. Although we were practicing this yesterday, and didn't we change the first chord?
We did. Yeah. It's an exciting moment.
Oh, is okay. it? What's it been?
It's been changed from.
Yeah.
All right. It's been changed from F sharp
yes.
major, and it's now. Ooh. It's now. What is it, Dickie?
C
sharp seven sus.
I'm impressed.
And so was I. All right. Should we? We'll probably screw it up now. But should we try it?
Yeah. Three.
Please keep your love away from me. Oh Jesus, keep your hands where I can see. But there's nobody here you can trust. Or I'll break every bone if I must. Oh listen, keep your hands away from me. Turn your eyes away from me. Oh, truth, shine your light where I can't see. Oh, they all practice here to deceive. I'd kill them before I believe. Oh, Jesus, keep your love away. Take the sword and cut them down. Oh, oh, down. Oh, Jesus, keep your love away from me. Yeah, how far the ass, how far? As far away as here and now. Jesus is the answer. It solves every problem. Jesus is the answer. Solves every problem. Maybe not.
Yes. Oh, I love that. After I was getting carried away there. I wish I could do a C sharp. What is it?
C sharp. What was it, Dickie?
She sells C-sharp.
Sus four.
Right. Well, that was a mighty fine session. And I'm sure you all enjoyed that as much as I did. It was absolutely brilliant. Green Gartside, Dickie Moore, Dave Ferret, Rodri Marsden, Squishy Politi, with big thanks as well to Matt Johnson and George Casey out there with their sound. Andrew Houston, nice to meet you too. Great. And we'll have copies of the album White Bread, Black Beer in our competition. It will be just in a moment. And brilliant
okay,
to
cool.
see you.
Great fantastic. Fun. Great
thank
fun.
You
thank you for having
much.
Us.
Cheers.
That was lovely.